Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
This is a very special episode. Just like we mentioned on the former episode, there's two bachelorettes this season. They could be competitors. They could compete against each other. They could choose the lesser way. But instead, we know that they're supporting each other, that they're friends. And here we are with one of our competitors. We could battle it out. We could fight it out. We could sell all listeners. But instead, we said, no, Bachelor Happy Hour, let's join hands. So this is an almost famous episode with two incredible guests, Becca Kufrin and Michelle Young. And then part two of this episode is actually going to be on Bachelor Happy Hour. So go over there to listen to that episode. Let's just get started. How are the two of you doing?
Let's do it. Great. I mean, I can only speak for myself. I'm so good. It's so good to see you and Ashley. Can I miss these faces?
And for me, it's just been, you know, kind of getting back into the groove of things, obviously. But it really is nice to be here. And I love that we're doing this and actually like conjoining and coming together, because I feel like there's so much going on where everything is so separate. So yeah, it's nice to do this. Although you can always come listen to part two first if you really want.
You can. You can just listen to part two. I mean, we're good with that. It does, Michelle, I'm with you. You know, when I heard we're doing this, it is fun, and this is a podcast, and it's about The Bachelor, so how serious can it actually be? But I do think it's a really good example of how things could be, where you're like, hey, there's a space in this world big enough for the both of us. Let's have fun and give both of our insights, both podcast insights, into this upcoming season. So Ashley and I are pumped to have you too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're so excited to be here. Nothing but love.
So where should we begin? There's so much to cover. Let's start with Becca and the engagement and all that, because we haven't caught up with you on the podcast about that. I know that you want to keep some things private, and you said that you wanted to keep them private for a while, but are you ready to tell us all the details?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I'm an open book, and this is such a fun time in my life personally with Thomas that, I mean, I could talk about our engagement and the day of the proposal for hours. So you're probably going to need to tell me to shut the F up at some point.
Okay, well,
I feel
let's
like
begin
I could
then.
Listen for hours too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. We
Becca
love these
and
stories.
Thomas are over there smiling, and I'm just over here smiling. That's all I need.
All right. So how long were you planning the proposal? Start there.
I had been planning it for just over a month, about a month and a half. It started like early April, and then I finally popped the big question mid-May. So a few weeks, which it was a few weeks of me like trying not to have word vomit and say too much around him, but it was such a fun process. You know, it's something I never thought I would do in my life. And I would say most women probably never thought that they would do in their life. So it was really cool just to like soak it in and be the one to plan the proposal.
Did you get down on one knee?
Technically, no. I did ask him if he wanted me to, but we were sitting in a very tight spot with a tent that was about to fall down behind us. And we were under this little table with charcuterie and wine. So I was like, okay, I love you. I put the ring on his finger and I said the right words, but I was like, do you need me to actually get on a knee? But I did it like a week later. I did it as a joke. So I feel like that counts.
You know, Becca, it's interesting because it's 2 years ago, you and I were hosting Bachelor Live on stage together, traveling the country. Two very different places in life. I was just getting ready to propose to my now wife, and you were kind of processing and figuring life out. Also, you know, soon after that, becoming single and then meeting Thomas. I don't know if you remember this, but something that I was really honored by and that I really appreciated from you as a friend is you called me before Paradise and said, should you go? You're worried about it for obvious reasons. You're a lead that's going to Paradise. Right. That's different. It's not really happening. Mm-hmm. Looking back now, I mean, obviously you're happy you went, but does it all feel like a whirlwind to you? Like, how are you processing these quick changes in life that have happened? I mean, from my perspective, it feels like it's happened so fast in such a good way, like in such a healthy, fun way, but like it's happened really fast.
So that's actually a question we get all the time is, you know, especially like in terms of my relationship with Thomas now, like you guys are already engaged. It's only been a year. But then I think back to when I actually went on the show, you know, when I was a contestant on The Bachelor and then when I was lead, like that's just way sped up, you know, like, so for me now I'm like, yeah, it's happening fast, but what I've lived through in the past. This is kind of drawn out a bit, but for me, like, it just feels right. Like, Thomas and I, since the get-go, were so on the same page, so in sync with how we wanted our relationship to be, how we wanted our future to be, how we want to raise a potential family one day, that it all felt right. Like, nothing with him has felt forced or like we have to do something by a certain time frame. But yeah, going back to what you just said about me going to paradise and not knowing if I wanted to do it and picking your brain, like that, yes, feels like a whirlwind. And it's still like, I mean, I'm surprised in general that I went to paradise in the first place, but I'm so glad that I did. And what was actually cool about filming like that chapter of my life, and Ashley, maybe you can attest to this, is it feels so different from a normal bachelor, bachelorette season. Like, it feels like, because you have so much time with your partner on the beach and so much alone time to like have the real deep conversations that you need, like that part, like it still feels like we're alone, but it still felt like I had enough time to like make a decision to come out of paradise, like if I wanted to get back together with this man or not, if that makes sense.
1000%. Like, when Jared and I left season two, I was like, that wasn't the end of this. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think that on the main shows, you kind of are forced into thinking that, like, okay, it's this person or it's bust. Like, the right. other people don't count. There's definitely not a future besides anything that, like, the decision that I made right here, right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's everything seems a little bit more flexible with Paradise. Would you totally. Say that you being one of the few people that kind of got to experience all three of the franchise shows, you understand why the success rate of Paradise is greater than the others when we like do the ratio?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, you just spend more time with people when you're on the beach. And I think it has something to do with that. There are so many relationships that the show is trying to catch and film and follow these storylines that a lot of times, at least in my experience with Thomas, our story kind of, and not to say this in a bad way, it was actually great for us, our story kind of fell by the wayside because there were other couples that you definitely knew were probably going to get engaged that were, you know, fresh out the gate, day one, super strong and solid. And so Thomas and I were able to spend so much time away from the drama and the cameras to actually get to know one another and really form a relationship. Like, I remember I think it was the night after our first date, him and I laid just in the middle of the beach on a beanbag for probably 5 hours straight, just talking about morals and values and like what we learned from our last relationships and what we want to take into our future relationships. And like, that was never aired. That was never filmed because, you know, in reality, it was such a boring conversation.
Yeah.
But you just spend so much more time with your partner on the beach. And also what's cool is seeing them interact with everyone else. It's not like when I was a lead, I was so removed from the men in the house because it's like you film, you have like your certain things that you have to do and then they kind of take you away. Right. Like, I was constantly in the midst and immersed with Thomas and seeing how he interacted with the producers, with the other cast members, with everyone on the beach. So I could get a more well-rounded picture and version of who he was, which I think really helped me come out of paradise to be like, oh, I miss that. I want that. You know, I mm-hmm. obviously broke up with him, but in hindsight, I'm like, I wouldn't want to lose him.
Mm, yeah. Well, final question for you, Becca, until we just get into a big old group chat, because we do have Michelle here and I'm really excited to catch up with Michelle and hear how she's doing in life. It's just with four people, we got to pick and choose our lanes right now. But
yes,
Becca, I've always been intrigued by this. You know, Thomas is, I guess people knew him from The Bachelorette and people weren't like fans of Thomas, especially other cast members. We got to see that. I don't think you did. I think you were already gone by the time that was kind of airing. I've got to now.
Oh, no, I still saw it.
Oh, you still saw it. Good. Well, yeah. This even makes it juicier. I've gotten to meet Thomas a few times now. I think the world of him. I think he's a great dude. Obviously, you think the world of him. You're engaged to him. So that's a good start. Was that hard for you, though, to work through that? Did that ever pop into your mind? Like, hey, is this really the guy that I know? Like, how did you deal with knowing that his perception on The Bachelorette was not good and then allowing yourself to fall in love with that guy?
Yeah, so it was definitely, I don't want to curse too much on here, but like a mind F, I would say, because I was living with him on the beach, seeing him interact with everyone. And then I was also, you know, once a week going back to watch an episode quick and to recap and podcast. And so I was seeing who he was in real life. And keep in mind, like when we were filming on that beach, guys from his season were there. James lived on the beach with us. Aaron was there. I can't even think of who, but like there were some other guys there and they all got along. Like they're cool. And so I'm watching like the drama play out on the show and like seeing what Aaron especially is saying about Thomas and then seeing them like bro it out on the beach. And I'm like, is this all for TV? You know, I get that people will say and do certain things. And like, yes, the show edited Thomas to be the quote unquote villain, but like at the end of the day, was he personally wasn't fighting with anyone, saying anything about other people. Guys just didn't like him because he admitted to being like, yeah, I could be the bachelor. Like it's crossed my mind. Like that is a possibility to come from
this. I loved his honesty so much. And we talked about that. We were like, this guy is being villainized for being honest. And all these other guys are lying that thought is not in their head.
Yeah. And like, from what I've gathered now from not only Thomas, but other guys that lived on that season, because I just did the tour with several of them. Like, I don't know how much we can include here, but like there was a conversation one night from, I'm not going to say who it was, but somebody that was on Paradise with Thomas was the guy to be like, hey, this is crazy. At the end of this, one of us here in this house is going to be the Bachelor. Have you guys thought about that? And that's what kickstarted the actual conversation the next day that was filmed to then make Thomas look like this bad guy. And so there's like so many little pieces that no one will ever realize, but yeah, at first it was very tough for me because I was like, I'm getting to know Thomas on this beach. He seems like a great dude. He's getting along with everyone. There's no issues that I'm witnessing in real life. So what the hell's going on? And then I finally got out of Paradise and I had to be like, it's all kind of on the show and editing at this point. Like I know Thomas, like I've seen him interact with people from the show and outside of the show now. And I love who he is. So I'm going to trust myself and go with that. And finally, when I kind of just brushed everything off and I was like, people are going to hate anyone regardless, like based on the TV show edit or not, like I can't let that affect me and my relationship. I just kind of got to the point where I was like, F everything else. And like, I picked this man, we're together. And like, that's who has my heart. That's where my loyalty lies.
Yeah. Well,
I remember like the first time I met Thomas and I had like seen this edit, right? And like, Becca, you and I are close. We're Minnesota girls. It's not, I'm protective. I think it was like in the first like 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, something's not adding up here. Like the edit went completely wrong, whatever it was. All I think now is how, like, this man is the nicest man I've ever met.
Yeah.
He's so thoughtful. I remember he packed me a bag of snacks. Like not even, didn't even and ask him to. He like, hey, Michelle, I know you have a really long like rest of your day when we're doing like a photo shoot or stuff for like all the podcasts. And he's like, I packed you a bag of snacks because I know that you said you were hungry and you have a long day ahead of you. And I'm like,
that's just him though.
And I think that makes me fall in love. I'd be like, all right, Thomas.
it's so like, it is so genuine and it's just who he is. And he's constantly thinking about other people first. He's constantly checking in and like connecting with people, whether you are, you know what I mean? Like a well-known person or somebody else. Like he just, he's just so, so, so genuine and thoughtful.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to: hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long, the worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit, and it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply, and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Can we talk about possibly the fact that these guys were intimidated by him because he is like 6'5" and gorgeous and super nice?
I mean, that's what like people have said that before. Like, and I think Demi or Marissa, somebody last season on the beach said like, these guys are just jealous of him because like, they want to be like him. I don't know. I just like the whole jealousy thing just seems so juvenile to me of like, you're actually going to hate this person because of like how tall they are. But I don't know. I don't know how guys' minds operate, but maybe you can speak more to that. But all I can say is at the end of the day, like he's cool with everyone that, you know, the show showed that he had beef with. So I don't know.
I saw Thomas at my wedding. I was jealous. I was like, this is my wedding day. Stop looking so good. Stop.
Height is something that guys really like, they do get intimidated by.
I'm 6'4". Like, come on, Ash. Don't act like I'm a short dude.
No, not you. But like Jared looking up at Thomas, like it's the kind of thing that he'll continue. Jared's 6 foot, but like if he's looking up at a guy, we'll leave the party and he'll be like, man, that Thomas, like, wow. Yeah. He's something,
laughing,
you know?
I'm really laughing because we're talking about how like height is something that guys really matter. Yeah. And then Ben, you chime in.
I'm 6'4".
Really bothered by the fact that we don't think you're tall enough. And I'm like, exhibit A.
Exhibit A.
Exactly. So funny.
All right. Before we move on from Becca, I do have one question I just have to ask. You got engaged twice on TV. And both of those engagements went, did you feel like you were taking the power back when you decided to be the one to propose? Did that play a factor?
I don't know if I would say taking the power back, but I just felt like I finally was at the point where I had a choice, you know, like I feel like filming the show as a contestant on Ari season and then being lead, like there is such a pressure to get engaged at the end. And realistically, in hindsight now, would it have been 1,000 times smarter of me to be like, look, I picked this person, I'm in love with them, but I'm not ready to get engaged? 1,000%. Like that's maybe what should have happened. But, you know, you kind of get sucked into this world and you feel that pressure. And so, yes, I said it. You know, yes, I will marry these other people when they've asked me very much on somebody else's terms, that I kind of just felt like I finally have a partner where we have the same goals in life, especially in terms of this relationship. And it was more so me just wanting to show him how committed I am and like how I want to meet him halfway. And so, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It felt really damn good to kind of be the one, not even in control, because I don't want to use that word, but to say like, I'm meeting you halfway. And like, I finally have a say in my next engagement, like the first two, I didn't really whatsoever. And now we can do this together and start this new part of our relationship together, however we want. And so that was really special. Like I made a comment once in another interview of like Thomas being like the first guy I actually want to marry. And those probably weren't the right words, but like Thomas is the first guy that I like proactively want to be engaged to on my timing. And I proactively want to plan a wedding with.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I was going to ask you about that because I recently read that and I was like, I could see you saying that about Ari, but you were with Garrett happily for a while.
Yeah, but we were at the place where like we had never planned anything for a wedding. Like we never got to that stage where I was like, I want to take this next step. I want to solidify this. Like it, and even when I was in that relationship, like, yes, there was love and we were committed to each other for 2.5 years, but we were never ready to take that next step and like be all in and like join our lives together. If that makes sense. And like Thomas is the first guy that I actually want to do that where I'm like, okay, maybe marriage actually is for me and I want to do this now.
Yeah. The I just was sitting here thinking, if it wasn't for your situation with Ari, you wouldn't have been the bachelorette. If you wouldn't have been the bachelorette, you would have never met Garrett, who then kept you within the franchise long enough to then go on Paradise. If you didn't go on Paradise, you wouldn't have found the love of your life, Thomas. And we're so happy for you, Becca. It's just weird how things work out, which transitions. That's cool. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. I've been.
I dig it. I knew that was my transition.
Yeah, I was like, wow, there's a Ben transition. transition for you. That was talent.
All right, continue then.
Yeah, Michelle, here we're going to start by saying, hey, you're not alone, first off, in this group. With Becca and I here, we've both had some really truly life hard, real difficult scenarios through this franchise and had to then figure out how to talk about them, air them out in the public eye. And it sucks. So answer what you want. Don't answer what you don't want. It's just a really hard time. But how are you doing? I guess would be how I start this is how are you holding up?
It's been quite a transition, I would say, just because, you know, this year I decided to step away from the classroom this following school year, just because I've been so burnt out and just really wanting to, you know, get out of that survival mode. I kind of feel like life has taken this thing as like, okay, challenge accepted. And like, here, like deal with the breakup. It's definitely not something that I plan to have to work through this summer. But I definitely have the understanding that like sometimes we have to work through things that we did not plan for, or that were not in our life plans. And so I really am just leaning on my friends, family for support. And it's been really helpful, I guess, to just kind of maintain, you know, that layer that I can kind of now start working from. Mm. So you have your good days, you have your bad days, you know, it comes and goes in waves.
When you intended on stepping back from teaching for a while, was that with the intention of spending more time with Nate and like living together in some place?
Yeah, I think I would say that I'm very like Nate and I are very independent people. But at that same time, you know, I personally like want to work towards different things, right? We're in two different places. He's in Austin, I'm in Minnesota. Long distance is difficult, but yeah, I think that, you know, having the summer off and being able to step away from teaching, that would have happened regardless of a relationship, regardless of, you know, influencing whatever you want to call it, just because I really needed to take a breath out of teaching. But would that have resulted in spending more time with Nate? Yeah.
It's
naturally, you know?
Yeah.
It's such a weird time too, Michelle. And people wonder about this, but I remember at the end of my relationship with Lauren, people still expected, well, I mean, we saw it, read headlines like, hey, you aren't together, or hey, you're not posting together as much, or you're not commenting on the pictures. And so there was a moment in my relationship, where, I mean, and this feels so weird now thinking back, but it was like, hey, we need to take a picture together so people stop asking, or we need to film a video of us laughing because we're so happy. And then in the behind the scenes, we're like, hey, we haven't talked to each other in 2 weeks, like really talked to each other.
I can't do that. let me just do that. Good. I can't do that, you know, because I like if I'm in a very committed relationship with somebody, and this is no like shade towards anybody, like everyone truly does handle this the best that they can. I feel like, you know, to each their own. I'm not a person who I've never really been on social media, period.
Yeah.
And it's something that's still kind of new to me, and being able to like show everybody what I'm doing, what I'm like updates and things like that. And so, yeah, there was never a time for me that I'm like, we need to post this picture so that we can act like this or take this video. You know, with the video, I know that there's like a lot of headlines or whatever about the video where I was talking about the engagement ring and like somebody videoing me and my friend taking it, and everyone's like, we should have known, like she faked it, this and that. And like, I'm over here sitting like, shit, like, this is why I don't ever respond to the internet, because that did not age well.
Yeah.
Like that did not age well, but damn. Yeah. But no, I really truly believe in reflecting how you feel. And I think that's kind of why I've stepped away from social media, because I've had to take this time to kind of work on myself and find that inner peace. you know, and I'm not good with posting if things aren't okay.
Again, like what Ben said, if anything, it feels too personal. Don't feel mm-hmm. obligated to ask. This is so yeah. fresh for you. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like when you got off the show, you guys felt bliss, happiness that was going to like last a super long time? Or did you have doubts as soon as you guys wrapped the show? Like, was this a breakup that you kind of foresaw, or was this sudden?
I think where I'm like struggling with this piece is it's like, you never know how much to say, you never know how to handle it, you never know how it's going to be taken. But I will say that like, this is not something that I foresaw. And I'll leave it there.
Yeah. Well, final really question around this, because there's no use of continuing to absolutely hammer in someone else's pain on a podcast, but who is there for you right now, Michelle? Like, who stepped up, been your support system? What kind of advice are they giving you, or what are they doing to help? The reason I ask this is because I'm sure there's other people out there that have gone through breakups and they don't know how to get help. What have you found to be helpful right now?
Yeah. You know, I have, like I said before, really started to lean on my family and friends, and have had, you know, two of my friends, Tia and Brooke, who I took off to Iceland with on a spontaneous trip to just, you know, disconnect. And my mom, my dad, siblings, and then just, you know, Becca and other bachelorettes reaching out that kind of have been through situations like this. And I feel like I've been able to reach out to different people depending on, you know, kind of what I needed. So like, for example, Becca has been through, you know, a public relationship ending, and, you know, Rachel Lindsay and Tayshia and Caitlin have all been through this, and they're able to offer certain advice. And then, you know, I have some really close friends who are also able to really know who I am and really know things that, you know, they just get me. They get what hurts. They get my responses to certain things, and they're able to sit there and kind of help me sort through things. And so it's been hard. It's been very emotional, and there's been a lot of waves of things, but to have family and friends who go on those waves with you and are willing to take in those waves with you has been just incredible.
Yeah. Well,
I'd be a bad podcast host if I didn't ask a question on behalf of the fandom, who mm-hmm. are very, very curious to know what happened to the down payment for the house. Answer as you'd like.
You know, that was money that was gifted to both of us. And I think that's something that, you know, is going to be decided how that's going to be utilized going forward. For me personally, you know, I haven't officially decided, but I, you know, kind of have started putting some different things in place to give back, you know, to build an organization, or, you know, just promote the change that I've been talking about, you know, and I think that would be something that I'd feel really good about.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so proud of you, Michelle.
Yeah, come on.
Literally been crying on the phone with one of the producers. You know, like, it's been emotional. I've been crying on the phone with one of the producers and like, but can I give this money? Like, can I create this to give the money like to somebody else? It's just like, it's something I feel good about. I know that's been the $1 million question, no pun intended, but yeah, it's been a lot.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that's just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to: hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long, the worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit, and it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply, and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Michelle, you are the greatest catch of all. Like, holy crapoli. Like, look, not only like is your beauty just absolutely like out of this world, but like your beauty inside, your intelligence, the way your grace, the way you handle yourself. Like, there is never been one person that I've been less concerned about finding her happily ever after. And I don't really know you personally very well, but like, you are gonna be so, so good. Yeah. And this is a period of life that you'll get over, and one day you'll be like, that was a moment of growth. And I am so happy of where I ended up.
I really, that means a lot, Ashley. And I know that you and I've had like, you know, a few exchanges and everything. And I'll be honest, I was talking to Becca yesterday of like, I'm nervous to get back on and start podcasting, right? Because I don't know, when you're away from something, you need to take that time. And I understand that, but coming back also, like, there's anxiety around it. And I'm such a positive person, or like a happy, bubbly person typically. And right now I'm not always that. And I know that's okay, but like, I didn't want to come on and be like, you know, I want to talk about Becca's engagement, and I want to talk about Ashley and your baby and Ben and everything that's going on in your life. And then I'm like, I'm over here. And I'm like, there's just like this like negative, you know, like that Charlie Brown Halloween episode, like, I got a candy bar, I got a sucker, I got a rock. Yeah. Like, I got a rock.
But
like,
Michelle,
I'm like, dang, that's going to be me.
I truly feel like this moment, like, even though you feel so low and you don't necessarily know where to turn or like what your life's going to look like, I honestly think this is going to be the catalyst for like one of the most beautiful, as Ashley just said, like, times of growth in your life. And everything, I mean, and I can say this from experience, because, you know, we've all been through breakups, and Ben, you can attest, we've been through public breakups, but like, everything just preps you for what's to come. And I think with you, you have such a beautiful soul that it's only going to benefit you in the long run.
Yeah. Truly. Like, when you look back on these moments of darkness, when it didn't end up with you didn't end up with the person that you so imagined yourself ending up with. And it's weirdly nostalgic. Like, when you get past it and you end up finding the person that you're with, you look back at those moments and you're like, man, I suffered so much heartbreak. But it really did get me to this. It's such a weird thing. It's hard to describe. Yeah. It's like one of those things where it's like, I need to take my heart and soul out and like put it into somebody else. And then they're like, oh, this feeling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know this feeling.
Yeah.
It's so weird. But
that's exactly. And I think, you know, like, breakups suck. Breakups are awful. I don't know. I just, they hurt. Right. And I think what's so difficult is that it sometimes feels like it's like not in your control, right? Like, you wake up and you sometimes days you just feel like, okay, I just have to have time pass, like, with time, give it time. But like, you can't always like speed up that time, right? You can't always like speed up healing. You can put in the work, but you can't always speed it up. But it is like this situation where I'm like, this is not how the story ends for me. This is not, you know, like where I'm at right now, emotionally, mentally, like how my heart feels, like, this is not how the story ends. And I deserve to, you know, really make it to that point where I get those things. And so, yeah, but it is hard to remember.
No, I know.
I may be calling you guys for a reminder here and there.
But it's like,
this is just a building block. Like, every relationship that doesn't work out is a building block to help you learn what you want, what you don't want in your next relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, every morning, look at yourself in the mirror and be like, My family is happy, healthy, and safe, and I am stunning as fuck.
As my morning hair that I fell asleep with wet hair, didn't wash my face, is like kinked everywhere.
You look stunning right now. I was actually not how I wake up. I was going to say, like, you've gone through the ringer in this past month and you still look like a 10. You're stunning. You're glowing. I'm like, what is your secret, girl?
Do you even have makeup on right now?
This is just
your face without makeup. You guys, oh my God.
Y'all.
Well,
isn't it so annoying, Ashley?
This is because you should have called me. You should have called me like whatever when this first went down. No, it was bad. It was bad. I'm sure I have a picture somewhere.
Michelle, as we close up here, because we do have a very special episode of Bachelor Happy Hour to get to. Where we're going to be breaking down a lot of The Bachelorette. I think we're going to talk about that. You guys are hosting it, so you know. Here's a good story for you to close out on, Michelle. I don't know if it'll make you feel any better or worse.
Ooh. I feel like this is one of those times where your dad tells you a story and it's like symbolic.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, yeah, maybe. I agree with everything Becca and Ashley have said, and I'm sure many people in your life have told you all of those things, and they're all true. And so you just got to believe them at some point. Maybe not now. Could still hurt for a bit. But at some point, you're just going to have to believe that these people are not lying to you. You are gorgeous. You are a catch. You are whatever is in the future is all going to make sense. We just talked about it with Becca. But really funny story I've never shared publicly, and I'll probably get fired for it. But that's okay.
I'm hooked.
He's not getting fired, spoiler alert.
I feel honored to be the reason.
I am going through a breakup. We announce it publicly on a Tuesday. I'd already been under contracts and we had already scheduled our very first Almost Famous episode on that Thursday. So we announced it Tuesday because it just needed to happen. Like it was time. We needed to tell people. And so it comes out and I'm broke. Like I'm sad. I'm a mess. And I call iHeart and I say, hey, can we not record this week? I'm not in the place. And they say, no, this is perfect. It's time. Everybody's listening.
This is
perfect. Time.
And so on a Thursday, I had to get on a podcast and say a bunch of stuff that I didn't even know what I was saying because I didn't know how I felt. And then over time, things get better and you can begin to move forward. And I wish the best for you. And I'm glad you're back. And I'm glad we're doing this together. This has been really fun. Hey, I do have to ask you this because our listeners need a little teaser going into Bachelor Happy Hour. In a minute, 30 seconds, what are both of your thoughts on this coming season of The Bachelorette as we move forward into part two over on Bachelor Happy Hour?
Whew. Michelle, you want to start?
No, you start.
Okay, I will try to be concise. I am excited and intrigued because this is something we've never seen before throughout an entire season having two leads. I'm skeptical because I in no way, shape, or form want these two women who are now the leads and in this huge pressure situation to be pitted against one another. And all I'm going to say is if they're going to have two women leads at some point, we better be seeing two male leads in one season.
We did. Ooh, so just that. To let you know, mm-hmm. I think Ashley and I just found
discovered
out
this yesterday
that there has been two bachelors on a season before. We didn't know this.
There has?
What? Yeah.
Way back
nobody
in the
remembers.
Day. Way back
before
in the day.
It's never brought up. Media?
Wait, so a duel? So season two guys six. Throughout the entire season.
Season
Wait,
six. Wait,
who was it?
I don't even remember their names. Byron, it was so early on in the 2000s.
Byron
oh, bring it out of the archives.
Byron and the guy
and
we don't
unknown.
Even know.
Yeah. No
Wait, is it Brian or is it Byron?
Byron and a guy Byron. We don't know.
Okay, we need to see a current season
okay,
with two
I don't disagree
men.
With you. I'm just saying we said the same thing yesterday and they were like, no. They have. So, all right.
Have?
Yeah, Michelle.
Interesting. Wow.
We were so confused because when Caitlin and Britt happened, nobody brought this up either.
I need the archives. I need the lost footage. I need to see this. Like, and they showed both men equally? Or did one just kind of fall by the wayside?
No, one got knocked off.
Here is.
Oh, so it was the same, like the whole Caitlin situation, right? But like not at the same time where two leads have gone through the entire process.
Here we go. So we got the recap. In September 2004, Velvic and Jay, over by a 40-year-old real estate agent from New Jersey, were selected as candidates for The Bachelor for season six. But their candidates, like, were they both together?
I think so. Yeah.
Were they
night
both
one.
For night one?
Oh, like okay. Caitlin and Brent.
We need a full season.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, I need season. To go back and watch that. And I also want to know, like, what are y'all up to?
And why don't we know who you are? Like, why when we first say, oh, yeah, it's Byron and unknown guy.
You guys, we're going to now fight as to who's going to get these two unknown guys on our podcast.
That's right.
How about you get one and we'll get one?
You get... Wait,
I want Jade, the guy who went home night one, just to give him some good love.
He's like, nobody's talked to me in 20 years. I don't know what's happening. Michelle, what are your thoughts?
I'm excited just for both of them because they both seem like they're going to handle themselves in a very like classy way, right? Mm-hmm. I think that they went into it with a really solid friendship, and I think that's something that they seem like they would continue to work on and like work past issues as it goes on. I feel like it's going to get a little intense though. I mean, it's kind of naive to not think that it, you know, there's not going to be drama with everything, but yeah, I'm excited for them both. I'm super interested in watching. This is, yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk about is what I feel like throughout this whole season.
Well, totally agree. All right, guys. Yeah. Well, it's time for us to wrap up and head over to your territory. So please sign out with us. Until next time, I've been Ashley.
I've been Ben.
I've been Becca.
I've been Michelle.
Later, I can't believe we're still doing this 4 years later. 5 years later? Oh, my God. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.